Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Going to flow on from Saturday evening. And this morning we're going to talk about effort and grace. The two sound contradictory, but the scripture shows us they're complementary. I wonder how many of you have followed up already what was said on Saturday and looked in your concordance to see where it says make every effort in the scriptures. If you haven't already done so, you're going to do so this morning. Let's start with Hebrews 4. Of course, it does say something about us, you know, when God speaks to us, whether we follow it up or not, or just leave it and do nothing. When God, over the years, whenever God has spoken a word to me, the first thing I've done is to go to my Bible with a concordance and look up every scripture on the subject about which he's spoken. That's the only way to learn. Not to wait for God to speak to me again, because he opens up a subject and all that he needs to say to us about that subject is in the scriptures. All you've got to do is tease it out, and it's so easy these days. If you've got a computer program, you just press a couple of buttons and you get all the scriptures there right before you. I personally don't like to do that. I like to get the concordance out and go through them one by one and find them and look at the context and really understand. We've got to be careful about using some of these modern aids that we don't miss something by just taking easy options. Right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Now, it sounds good, one. Make every effort to enter rest. Yeah, we'll have a dose of that. But it doesn't mean make every effort to go to sleep during the lectures, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Now, what is this rest? Well, the writer to Hebrews, whoever it was, Apollos, Paul, whoever, is talking about the rest of faith. Being in that place where you are at complete rest because you trust God. No matter what the situation. Now, it sounds a bit of a strange phrase. Make every effort to enter rest. Because instinctively we think of rest as resting from effort. Anybody at the same meeting I'm at this morning? So, it sounds odd. But you see, if we're in situations where naturally and instinctively we would be worried or concerned or just perplexed, then we do need to make every effort to get into that place spiritually where we need to be. And so, of course, that involves obeying what the scripture says and casting all our care, all our anxiety on the Lord. We are passing the burden over to him, so we are at rest. So we can see that that is going to be an effort. Because otherwise you will live as a victim of your feelings. Now that's how people in the world live. But it's not how we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are called to live. We are not to live as victims of our emotions. Now, an obvious example of this is worship, praise, or prayer. It's easy to worship when you feel like it. When you feel full of joy and everything's going well, and you want to give thanks to God, and everything's fine. But when you're feeling lousy, when everything seems to be going wrong, when something has happened to really upset you, when some trauma has arisen in your life, the last thing you instinctively want to do is to praise God. The only thing to do in a situation like that is to make every effort to praise God. You have to force yourself to do that. And in forcing yourself to do that, you will break through into the place of rest. You will realize, well, okay, the situation may be pretty awful, but God is bigger than the situation. And I am called to rejoice in the Lord always and to give thanks in all circumstances. So no way am I going to be a victim of my circumstances, but a victor over my circumstances.
Amen.
That was a good one, worth writing down. So, we can see that effort is required. Effort is not unspiritual. Hello? You see, what is effort? Effort is being absolutely focused and determined to attain your objective, to reach your goal. Now, we're all rejoicing here this morning that Arsenal are 5 points clear at the top of the Premier table. But you see, things like that don't happen without the team making effort. Any player that didn't contribute effort would be dropped from the side. And we'll see a little later on that we're to make every effort to maintain unity, which means God wants every one of us to be making effort because we're a team. We're the body of Christ. If you've got one part of the body that's not functioning properly, other parts of the body have to compensate. What you want is for every part of the body to be healthy and to therefore, if you like, make the effort when that's necessary. If you don't keep your eyes focused, you'll just go into an unfocused daze.
That's right.
I didn't say anything about students. I just said that if you don't focus, that's what happens to you. And you see, if you don't make effort, you just become lazy.
Right.
Spiritually lazy.
Right.
So here is this scripture, make every effort to maintain the rest in faith. Faith requires effort. To make yourself put into operation the principles of faith when in the natural you would just walk in the flesh.
That's right.
In self-dependence. You see, if you don't exercise your faith, then it's wasted.
Right.
And often there is effort in being determined not only to exercise your faith, but to maintain your faith until you reach your faith objective. I mean, you know the testimony of how the Lord provided the money for to buy this place outright. But between the time when we agreed to buy it and the completion of the sale was a period of 4 months. During that time, we had to maintain our faith consistently. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. And when doubts crept in, to come against those doubts, to maintain the faith position, requires effort, spiritual effort. Are you with me? So spiritually lazy people will never walk by faith. And then they'll complain why God isn't doing things in their lives. Hello? Okay, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I could spend a lot more time on each of these, but 2 Peter. I'm going to start to read from verse 3 because we need the context. Chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Peter. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Amen. Everybody shouted hallelujah, but I didn't hear them all. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So we are able to participate in the divine nature. We live in God and he lives in us. So that would all seem to be so wonderful, it doesn't require any effort. But if we read on, for this very reason, because you participate in the divine nature, and God has given you his very great and precious promises, and he has given you everything you need for life and godliness, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Now listen, make every effort, as I explained on Saturday, is to engage your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Make every effort means you give your all to add to your faith. So we've got to make every effort to maintain the rest of faith, and then we've got to make every effort to add to our faith. Now, what are we going to add to our faith? Well, if we just go down the next two or three verses, make every effort to add goodness. Make every effort to be good. Dear Lord, how can you be so patient with us? Make every effort to receive knowledge of God, that is, not about God, but knowledge of God. Make every effort to exercise self-control. You don't make any effort to exercise self-control and self will not be controlled. You will start thinking self, speaking self, acting self. Which is only another way of saying you think the flesh, you speak the flesh, and you act in the flesh. So make every effort to exercise self-control. You say, well, wait a minute. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Yes, so God has given it to you, but you've got to make every effort to exercise it. What's the point of having it if you don't use it? Then you've got to make every effort to persevere. Perseverance requires effort.
Amen. That's right.
The devil constantly wants you to give up. Yep. Say, I'm not a quitter. I didn't say critter, but quitter. Say it again. I'm not a quitter. A quitter is someone who gives up. I'm not a quitter.
Amen. Amen.
Doesn't matter if things don't fall into place immediately. I am not a quitter. I will not quit. If I was a quitter, let me tell you, I wouldn't have even been able to preach on Saturday evening. Caroline had a very interesting thing to say about Saturday evening. I said to her, because I really did feel lousy in the morning. Lousy. I had to leave the morning service, just go and sit in the back and then go home. And I said to Caroline afterward, well, because obviously, you know, God was moving on Saturday evening, so I said, well, obviously, the devil was trying to prevent that. And Caroline turned around to me and said, no, it was prophetic. I said, prophetic? What do you mean? She said, well, in the morning, you were vomiting. And you know how lousy, I mean, I took it on from there. I knew how lousy I felt before. And what was God saying? I wish that you were neither hot nor cold. Otherwise I will vomit you out of my mouth. And you know what hit me is how awful God must feel about us when we're lukewarm. I mean, you've all known what it is, how lousy you feel just before you vomit. You think, well, if it all comes out, but it wouldn't all come out. It was the most strange thing. I would just vomit a little bit, and then a little bit more. And never had anything like it before. So you see, it is possible for God to speak through your wife. Such things have been known to happen. But, I mean, it sort of hit me when Caroline said that, and then the Lord began to say, well, now you see how I feel about my people when they're lukewarm and I feel like vomiting. That's how I feel, the Lord said. That's how I feel about mediocrity and compromise and lukewarmness. And I think he feels that way because as believers, we should know better. And actually, we don't have any excuse. Hello? It's simply because we haven't applied ourselves. So we have to make every effort to persevere. Then, look, make every effort to be godly. That's what it says, doesn't it? Make every effort to add to your perseverance godliness. Make every effort to be godly. Paul says the same thing. To Timothy, he says, aim at godliness. Aim to be like God. I mean, if you don't aim to be like God, who are you aiming to be like? Then aim at brotherly kindness. You know, not just saying, oh, I love my Christian brethren, but actually doing works of kindness. Make every effort to do works of kindness for one another. That's what the scriptures say. Then make every effort to love. Why? Because this agapeo love is love with all heart, mind, soul, strength. It's love that is given with every part of your being. It's It's not just the emotional love. So, make every effort to do all these things. What a list. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. You see, what the scripture is saying is all these require effort. Now, if you go on to chapter 3, verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, to being part of the new heaven and new earth, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Whew. You see, if your vision is to live and reign with God for all eternity, then make every effort to live in a place where you're spotless and blameless before God. Mm-hmm. Because then you will be at peace with Him. Requires effort. It requires effort to repel all the uncleanness, all the temptations, all the fiery darts of the evil one. You do not put the shield of faith in place without effort.
That's it. That's right.
And you cannot wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, without effort. I mean, you know, you think of a soldier just standing there with his shield and his sword, and he's not doing anything to use either. And the enemy's firing darts at him and doing all kinds of stuff. And you think, well, the guy's a clown. Right. Why doesn't he make an effort to defend himself? And why doesn't he make an effort to go on the attack? Yes.
Come on.
But most Christians are like those soldiers just standing there saying, the devil's having a go at me. I don't know. Trouble always seems to come in threes. I don't know what's going to happen next. It's always me that gets it. Oh, Lord. Now, none of you would think like that. But one day you're going to be ministering to people who do, you see. Now, this is Peter who's speaking these scriptures to us. If you just turn back for a moment to the end of the first letter of Peter, this same God is saying in chapter 5, verse 10, and the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You see, He's the God of all grace, who will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. What's He saying? When you make the effort, God's grace will be there to make you strong. But without the effort, you'll just stand there in your weakness and you will be overcome. You see, grace belongs to it. If you go to the end of 2 Peter, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen. So he's saying these two things at the same time. Make every effort and grow in grace.
Yeah.
Now you see there's a kind of a grace movement going on out there, which is totally unrealistic and unbiblical, because it seems to suggest that you never make any effort to do anything, that God will by His grace do whatever He wants to do. I mean, it's just cloud cuckoo land.
That's right.
But it's deceiving so many, because it means you can just about do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter too much, because the God of grace will forgive you if you get it wrong. Nothing about the effort to be godly, effort to be holy, effort to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. I mean, that would be the kind of anathema. But here it is in the scripture. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Are we getting something? Chapter 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men, including me, and be holy. Make every effort to be holy. Wow. And holiness is Christ-likeness, isn't it? In practical holiness is Christ-likeness. Make every effort to be like Christ. Why? Because you sure won't be like him without some effort. You make the effort. You have the desire. You apply yourself. You have that focus. You have that determination. And the God of all grace will make you strong and enable you to do it. So strange as it may seem, there's so many paradoxes in the Christian life. Strange as it may seem, effort and grace go together. You make the effort and God gives the grace. But you just sit back and all you'll become is lukewarm, making God feel sick, if I can put it that way. And you know, the sooner this is out, the better. But praise God, in that scripture he says, I'm about to vomit you. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth, spew you out of my mouth, literally. He doesn't say I've actually done it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start from the beginning of the chapter. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is only one kind of unity in the New Testament. And that is unity in the Spirit. The only kind of church unity there can ever be is unity in the Spirit. Unity is never accomplished through having unity services or unity conferences or unity debates. The only kind of unity that there is unity in the Spirit. So you can only have unity where people are open to the Spirit and willing to obey the Spirit. So the scripture says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Right. To keep, to maintain. Now, what does that mean? It means that God has given us unity in the Spirit. You see, the unity is there in the Spirit. So, all those who are moving in the Spirit are one. Now, make every effort to maintain that unity. Don't let anything come in to divide you. Don't let anything come in to draw you apart from one another. Maintain the unity. We all have an obligation to do that. Because it only requires one to be out of the Spirit, and you've actually done something to destroy the unity. Hello? So all of us have a responsibility to God and to one another, as well as ourselves, to maintain the unity in the Spirit, to be spiritually healthy, to be moving in obedience to the Spirit, to be following the lead of the Spirit as the sons of God. Am I talking to myself this morning? We have that responsibility. That responsibility has had to be in the forefront of my life. I need to be spiritually healthy to fulfill my ministry. But then so do you. So does every one of us. But you see, part of the motivation is I need to be in the right place with God in order to bring forth the word of God and see the power of God and the purposes of God fulfilled. But it's the same for all of us. I mean, when we're out there in the marketplace doing our witnessing and so on, communicating the gospel like we were hearing last week, we need to be in the place with God to have downloaded the glory so that then the glory can be expressed through us. Sometimes it's an effort to pray, isn't it? I mean, it's nice when it's not an effort. But often it is an effort. Why? Because that's when the devil opposes you most. He is afraid of praying believers. So he can't stop God answering our prayers. He can't stop God fulfilling his word. But if he can stop us praying, then there's nothing for God to answer. Are we getting this? Now, if we go... Oh, you need to turn to it because you know it. But if we were to turn back to Hebrews, what are we bidden to do? To draw near to the throne of grace. You see, here is the writer to Hebrews talking about the effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy, to make every effort to enter the peace of God, the rest of God, in faith. And yet at the same time, he's saying, and make every effort to draw near to the throne of grace. And there you will find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. Same writer writing these things, you see. Paul's at it. Peter's at it. The writer to Hebrews is at it. They all understand that effort and grace are complementary. When I make the effort to do what God wants me to do, God's grace will enable me to do it. So it isn't my effort that accomplishes it. It's the grace that accomplishes it. But the grace doesn't operate without my effort. I mean, how can God give you the grace to break through in prayer if you don't pray? How can God use you to lead others to the Lord if you don't witness? And you see, what effort so often involves is actually denying your flesh. It's an effort to overcome the flesh, to overcome what you would instinctively do in the natural, whether it's to be quiet or to back off or to go and hide in a corner somewhere, instead of really moving out in the obedience of faith. Are we getting this? So we've heard it. All we got to do is do it. This is the kind of word that we can't say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But we've got to go and do it. Now, just one more thing. If we really understand what these scriptures are saying, we will realize that God is at work in the effort as well as in the grace. God will enable the effort as well as the grace. It's only when we get spiritually lazy and don't make the effort that we become lukewarm, compromisers, guilty of mediocrity. That was a good word I used on on Saturday. Clive was using it on Sunday. Mediocrity. Just being mediocre. Being average. You see, I think a lot of us would settle for being average. We'd like to think, well, you know, I want to do my part, but there's nothing very special about me. How can you say that if you participate in the divine nature and say there's nothing special about you? How can the mediocre participate in the divine nature, for goodness sake? Because there's nothing mediocre about the divine nature. So God doesn't want you to be average. He wouldn't have brought you to Rothy if he wanted you to be average.
It's true. Come on. That's it.
You see, what the scripture says is that he wants you to excel. And if you excel, you're not average. Oh, well, there's nothing special about me. What do you mean? You've got Christ in you and there's nothing special about you? That's blasphemous. It's like saying there's nothing special about Christ. He only lives in me. That's blasphemy. Of course there's something special about you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're participating in the divine nature. You can't be average. Get that thinking out. God has called you to excel. He's put you in a first-class carriage.
Yes.
And you don't have to pay for it. There's no ticket collector coming around to see if you're traveling first class with a second-class ticket. Third class, whatever we have now. When I was a boy, there used to be first class and third class, and nobody ever knew what had happened to the second class. But we're first class.
Come on.
Those of you, you may not notice it, but up in my study upstairs, I've got a picture somebody gave me a while ago of a dart hitting the bullseye. And it just says underneath, excellence. Amen. Why? Because the scripture says, aim for perfection. Amen. Excellence. Boom, bullseye. I'm not going to end up with a 1 or a 2 or even a 9 or a 10. I'm 50. Bullseye. Boom. It's a question of attitude, isn't it? Excellence. So everything we do is to be done with excellence. I don't know whether you've had Pastor Paula's lectures on excellence yet. No, well, you need her. She's got some good lectures on excellence, doing everything with a degree of excellence. Yeah. even little things. Because excellence reveals God. But anything less than that can't reveal the one who is excellent. So we're aiming to excel, because that's what excellence is. We're aiming to excel. We're not average. I stand against all that average thinking. All those attitudes, I'm here to make the number up. Well, I'm just a member of the body of Christ, but there's nothing very special about me. I curse all that thinking because it's not of God. Amen. We get rid of all that thinking that would curse us.
Right.
And we take on board all the thinking that will bless us. Amen. That if my focus is to do everything in excellence, to make every effort to excel in whatever God calls me to do, His grace will abound within me, and I shall, by His grace, excel.
Amen.
And there won't be anything average.
Amen.
You see, when I was at school, I was Mr. Average. I was in the academic study. I was just average. Why? Because my philosophy were the lessons were simply there to fill in the time between sports practice.
That's right.
In my school, if you were in the school team, you had sports practice at lunchtime and after school every day. I mean, it was serious stuff. So the lessons were a bit of an intrusion. All my effort was in the sport, so where did I excel? In the sport.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's right.
I was just Mr. Average, where I didn't excel.
Right.
Where I didn't put the effort in. So, this is a wonderful day. Because I'm looking at a couple of hundred excellent, excellent disciples. I'm looking at some excelling people who are going to make every effort to excel in everything for the glory of God. It's wonderful because there are no Mr., Mrs., or Miss Averages in the place. We've left all that behind us. Praise God. There's no mediocrity. We give ourselves wholeheartedly, because that's what it means to make every effort, to be wholehearted. And the scripture is that God is wholehearted, so we're going to be wholehearted like God. God never does anything in an average way. Never does anything in a mediocre way. If anything is happening is mediocre, you know there's not much of God about it. So isn't it wonderful, you see? Just as a result of one message, we are all going to move up to another level. We're all going to step up. We're just going to take a step up to a higher level. And now we're going to make every effort to excel in faith, in love, in holiness, in all these ways. Praise God. So let's stand. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm happy. Aren't you happy? This is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, hallelujah. The more you possess those things, the more fruit. Oh, yes. Come on, the more effort to see those things reproduced in your life, the more fruit there will be. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. We're not only stepping up to another level, we're stepping up to another level of fruitfulness. Hallelujah.
We're going to see you doing so much more, Lord. And then you're going to be glorified so much more. Hallelujah. Pataparazataba. Come on, just worship him. Hallelujah. Salalalama satabalatamba. Horalalama salama satabalatabarasituba. Ho ho. Ho ho ho. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Papara salabasito risato balanduma. Bolala la namara la masalaria le bacara satuba. Bolala la namara no masalamasito risatuba. Oh, 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 oh. Era la la masieso papara santo. Oh la 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 massa la massi turisato balando ma. Oh la 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 massi turisato bacarasi turisando. Era la massa tari elena massa tari elena ma. Ombarassa la massi turisato bacarasi toba. Oh la 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 massando. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord that He's lit a fire in your heart. Come on, stir up that fire for today. Fresh fire for today. Holy fire. Holy fire. Holy fire. Pora la la masa la masato barantu. Ora la masato barasato ba. Bola la 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 masa la masondu. Bola la la masitari elena masantu. Bora la 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 masa la masituri sarara masantu. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes. Ora la 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 massa la massa turi santo. Ora la massa anamando massino ma. Ora la 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 masando. Oh Lord, we bless you. We praise you. What a mighty, mighty, mighty God you are. Potaparazataraba. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Just turn to all those around you and say, it's so great to know I'm no longer average. Right, now, that means that you're, in fact, just say this, make this confession. Say, I'm good at prayer. Why? Because the Spirit of God enables you to pray. So now you're going to pray for someone. With the spirit of excellence that is upon you, you're going to pray for one another. So just pair off with someone. You pray for them, they'll pray for you. Pray with that spirit of excellence. This prayer is going to count. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Let's just do a spot check, shall we? Is your bedroom in a state of excellence? Aim to excel in all things, it says. Are your table manners in a state of excellence, so that you're more concerned to make sure everybody else has what they want than just stuff your own mouth? Hello? See, we're going to begin to apply all this. Why? You look after the details, everything else will look after itself. He's the God of details, right? It's not just, is your prayer life excellent? See, doing those acts of kindness. Make every effort to do those acts of kindness. So we're looking out for each other, eh? Praise God. Father, we thank you that your word has such practical application. And we want to see you being glorified in the details. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to see so much more fruit as we impact the lives of those that are lost with the gospel of salvation. Lord, give us souls. Come on, let's pray that. Oh, Lord, give us souls. Potoparazata parazatu. Give us souls, Lord. Potaparazata parazatu pakarazito pa. Barata parazata parazato palatu pa. Atapakalazito disatu. Lord, we're not saved every day, day by day. We want to see many being saved day by day. Lord, give us souls. Soturisata bakarazitoba. Barata parazata parazitoba. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whoever's lives we touch, give us souls. Puparazatari elera bakarazitorisatuba. Barandaria zatuba karazitoba. Oh, let us see that the impossible is made possible. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that the unlikely is going to happen. That even the most unlikely people are going to be saved. You're going to come crashing through people's defenses. And we give you all the glory. Lord, thank you that your word will be like that sharp sword that will penetrate right to hearts. And we will see hearts turn to you and people changed and transformed. And we give you all the glory, Lord. Potaparazata parazatu bakarasito. Parataparazatari elera bakarasito. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. Just turn to all those around you and say, it's so good to share in the perfection of Jesus with you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.